It's always a pleasure to be here at the Combine. With that, I'll take you all's questions. Well, it's the ability to evaluate talent. I think Ted, too, is a real scout. And he's had a history of evaluating and selecting, you know, really good players. And I think that's what you do as this process unfolds. Well, I appreciate that question, and you know, that is a reflection of everybody in the organization. With regards to AJ, I think he's made great strides this year. As the season unfolded, he became comfortable with the offensive scheme. Towards the end of the season, he got very comfortable, and that's a credit to, you know, the coaching staff. Coach Cully did a marvelous job with that, and he did some very nice things in the playoff game, and I expect him to have a really nice second season with the Kansas City Chiefs.
John, how do you feel about your offensive line, especially the free agency you have there? What's your kind of vision for the O-line?
Well, you know, I think that as the season unfolded, they got used to the new scheme. I think Andy Heck and Eugene Chung do a nice job. I think they're the youngest offensive line in the National Football League. They came together, they grouped together, and towards the end of the season, they were starting to groom. So I see this moving forward as a very good positive. With regards to some of the free agencies, you know, we've had ongoing conversations with their representatives, and we'll continue.
John, it's been reported that you guys have decided not to sign Brandon Elliott.
Really? I don't know. That's the first I've heard about it, Bob. You know, we have ongoing conversations with all of our unrestricted free agents. Just so happens we've had conversations with Brandon's representatives, and that's the beauty of the Combine. Those guys are here, and we will continue to have conversations with those representatives as the Combine passes. Well, I think every year you go through the draft process, regardless if you're selecting one or 23. You begin to build your board, and then you begin to identify certain players that will unfold at certain slots. And then as you go through there, then you can determine who these players are that fit those criteria that you have set up. And that's how that unfolds. And you do have to be disciplined, because when you build through the draft, discipline is so critical, because you have to take the best player available, not thinking instantaneously, but also thinking down the road in terms of the future, 2 years, 3 years down the road. You know what, though? I think that history has shown if, in fact, you stay true to that model, the best player usually will prevail. There's a lot of value in two slots, as you can see in some of those picks that are given up. Again, it's the art of discipline. I mean, I've been taught that at a very early stage in my career by Ron Wolf. He stayed true to that, and that's what we'll do. We'll always stay disciplined in that number. Well, if the player was one spot above, that means I would have to give something away for somebody who I didn't deem was the best available player. Why would I do that? You know, in that market, what Weston is you know, he showed on his film in the CFL, he's very competitive. What we do as an organization is we try to turn over every stone we possibly can to find players that will compete competitive depth that we've always talked about. I think he's a very unique player. He'll have a little bit of return thing in here. He'll also, you know, the way Andy uses certain players and he finds roles for them, I think that's interesting. But again, what that is that's a player that you bring into camp let's see how he competes and let's see how he fits. That's kind of what you do there. As you know what, I'll be honest with you. You think I'm going to fudge on this, but this is the truth now. I've been in draft meetings for like 2 weeks here now. I have a stack of reports by the coaches on terms of self-evaluation. So that's sitting on my desk. If I were to assess, I think David did a nice job in their first year. They grew, they matured as the season went along. Of course, we expect them to mature and grow in the second season of this offense. And with this coaching staff, I have no doubt that they will. Is he my left tackle? No, I think right now he's our right tackle. Well, I think the one thing I'm proud about Eric is I think he made great strides as the season went along. You could see a great degree of comfort with him in the second half of the season. And really what that is, that's a credit to Andy Heck, Eugene Chung, and their abilities to coach. So the second, I've always said between the first and the second year, that's when those guys make their greatest strides. And I expect great things from Eric in the second year. Excuse me? You know, when I first got to Kansas City last year in January, I said the greatest thing about this relationship is when the head coach and the general manager are philosophically on the same page and they go to work every day and they want to work to get better. That's very meaningful because that's what successful organizations do. You know, with Andy, you know, Andy is one of those guys that lets you do that, and he trusts me enough to do that. And I have great respect for Andy, and I have great respect for, you know, that's kind of way that Clark laid that whole system out. And, you know, so far it's worked pretty good. Well, we've always said this is a collective effort by everybody within the organization. At the end of the day, we're going to make a pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. What we are doing right now is what I'm trying to do is to get Andy to understand exactly, you know, who these players are. It's for me to get him, you know, up to speed on that just so, you know, he can have a good, comfortable feel for that. I will say this. When I first got there, I knew that Jamal was very fast, very talented. I didn't realize how tough he was. I mean, he is unbelievable. With that being said, I think that as the end of the year came along, you saw Nile Davis begin to develop that role to take some reps away and to make Jamal a little bit fresher in the fourth quarter. So, you know, if you can have a two-headed, you know, running attack with Nile, with Jamal, I think that helps everybody. Well, I think, you know, football, the game of football has changed over the last 5 years. The ability for safeties to cover means something now because they're passing and spreading the ball out a little bit more. Nick Collins was a very good player. I think that Eric Berry is a very fine football player. And I think the safety position is like all of them. They're vitally important in today's football. Well, you just, you know, I could sit here and do the list of, okay, what the requirements of this and that. But at the end of the day, does the guy make plays?
Georgia,
that's kind of what you're looking for.
Albert Wilson, table one.
There's so much emphasis by you and Andy on building through the draft, taking the best player that's available right there. Do the players you sign as free agents have any effect on the draft?
No, I don't think so. Well, you're looking at competition as they, you know, compete against their peers. You know, of course, you're looking at similar athletic movements as they twist and turn. But I think it's a combination of looking for athleticism and competitiveness within the drills.
Bob, you good? All right, thank you.
Thank you.